For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiries.ie
on News Talk.
There's been a lot of discussion. We were talking about this with Saoirse McHugh in her own experience canvassing and the kind of aggression and vitriol to which she was subjected. And as she made clear, her experience, though bad, is in the halfpenny place of the experience of some politicians and some civilians. But we're focusing particularly on politicians. Gary Murphy making the point that there is a drumbeat of aggression and threat there that we haven't seen in politics in Ireland in some time. And we've just had a report from the Task Force on Safe Participation in Political Life. And it looked at the policing support, the level of risk that there is for politicians, the kind of social media and broader discourse and how that's contributing to danger for politicians, or if it is contributing to danger for politicians. And it was chaired, the committee's work was chaired by Noreen O'Sullivan, former Garda Commissioner and, of course, then the United Nations Assistant General Secretary for Safety and Security based in the UN in New York. The report details a number of recommendations. But before we get to those, Noreen O'Sullivan, as you look at it and as you heard the evidence from various different politicians and senators and TDs, do you believe that there is an implicit risk in political life now that there hasn't been in recent years?
So, Anton, I think, you know, yes, I do. I think it's changed and I think there's a changing nature of it. But maybe just stepping back from that, you know, this report is a significant body of work, which I will go into. But when we were producing the report, what struck me is, what does this mean for all of us as citizens? So what of the findings of this report, which I'll come to in a moment, what does that mean for all of us as citizens? And what can we as citizens do in the first instance? And if I give you an example, so in order to provide a baseline and move beyond the concept that this was an increasing problem, we actually commissioned a piece of work from UCD, a research piece of work. We also surveyed all of the European parliaments, and we had responses from 24 of 27.
Of the different member states.
Of the different member states. So what we found in that from the European Parliament survey, actually the threat of abuse is increasing. And the threat from that. So, for example, 85% of European parliamentarians have experienced both physical abuse, 85% emotional abuse, and 85% psychological abuse. And that's a very significant finding. And to say that our evidence then that was commissioned actually reflects that. So, as an example, 94% of our politicians have experienced abuse. And most importantly, we also wanted to capture what was the impact on political staff. And what we found there was 72% of political staff have experienced abuse.
Now, there is a qualitative thing in this, because there may be people who are listening and saying, to some extent, the job of a politician is to accept that you will get abuse. There has always been people who will say, I feel very fundamentally aggrieved by your policies and I'm going to voice that at you. So how are we defining abuse in this context? Is this beyond the norms?
Yes, it's beyond the norms. So and I can give you some examples. So what we were looking at, it's harassment, abuse and intimidation. And we've adopted the term abuse to capture all. To answer your question at the outset, I certainly have seen in my own experiences here in Ireland a palpable sense of menace, and increasingly so. And I think Shane Coleman captured it very well today in his article, and also Tanya Sweeney yesterday talked about. And what we have found in this report is that basically the abuse has serious negative consequences for victims of the abuse itself, for their families, for political participation and the health of our democracy.
Now, for political participation, one thing in this, Noreen, Saoirse McHugh was citing her example. And Saoirse McHugh is an independent standing in the Midlands Northwest constituency. Now, she is not a cabinet minister. She is not therefore responsible directly for policy, yet she is being attacked. Are we seeing a level of distrust and anger at the entire political system that is new, or does it pick out individual victims because they seem to be powerful?
Well, it's across the entire system. It's cross party and indeed no party. We've seen independents receiving similar abuse and people that have the courage to step up and put themselves forward to represent all of us. So I started with saying, what does this report actually mean for all of us? You know, with the Parliament belongs to the people. We are a representative democracy. The people that are elected from all backgrounds and from all hues of politics actually represent all of our different interests. There should be an ability to have very robust political debate, but to do that in a respectful and constructive manner, and I suppose to promote civil discourse. And that's why I would see that, and certainly our findings were, is a lot of responsibility on political parties themselves, A, within their own party and how they treat each other and the civility which they treat each other, but also both in both houses, in the Oireachtas and the Seanad, sorry, in the Dáil and the Seanad, that actually that there are, I suppose, a commitment to actually engaging in robust debate, but actually doing it in a very constructive, very civil manner, but never taken away from that robust, because as you quite rightly said at the outset, if people, public representatives, step up to represent us and have the courage to do so, yes, they should expect challenge as regards their views and what they represent on behalf of us, but they shouldn't have to expect abuse, nor should we as citizens tolerate it.
You've broken down the sort of the recommendations as to what can be done into a series of different, effectively, groups responsible for actions. The social media companies, there's the Commission na Mban, and there is your former organisation, the Garda Síochána. Back in the day, it used to be the case that every cabinet minister had an armed detective driver who would travel with them. And if you were Justice or Taoiseach, you also had additional armed security. A, do we need to go back to that? And B, even if we do, how does that protect the Saoirse McHughs of this world who are out canvassing?
And that's a very good point, Anton. Yes, we make several recommendations. So we make recommendations for the houses of the Oireachtas themselves and the relationship with An Garda Síochána, particularly using information and better sharing of information and the intelligence picture to understand what the threat is against all public representatives, both at national and local level. So there's specific recommendations in the report in relation to that. That's one element. We also make, as I said, recommendations in relation to the political parties and a recommendation for the houses of the Oireachtas coming to the next term, how they will engage in a pledge of civility, let us call it, to actually how they treat each other. But outside of that, to protect local politicians and aspiring politicians in particular, because we want a diverse, inclusive society. And what we have found in our report is actually that a lot of the issues and the abuse that we are seeing is disproportionately targeted at women and minorities. That is not to say that it's not targeted at men. It is, and we've seen increasingly high-profile cases recently of male public representatives, high-profile ones also being targeted. But what we have found is that it's driven by misogyny, racism, intolerance and sexism. And I suppose you could capture all of that by xenophobia and people that are exploiting difference.
As egregious and as reprehensible as it is, it might also be predictable that you would see a level of racism given the issues pertaining to immigration. The misogyny isn't as immediately predictable. Women are having a tougher time than men.
Yes, disproportionately so. And that's evidenced right across Europe. It's evidenced in all of the studies. And particularly when we looked, so we had contributions from various academic institutions. We spoke to Julia Mangrant, the Australian E-Safety Commissioner, and the UN Women, to look at what does it mean in terms of political violence and cyber violence targeted to women. And the evidence is there that it is disproportionately targeted at women. And quite interestingly, younger politicians are receiving more abuse than the older politicians. That may well be, and there's more evidence needed to be researched in this area, but that may well be because they have a higher presence on social media. But what we found is that this abuse and this type of abuse has been fueled by the anonymity provided by social media platforms. And that's why we make recommendations regarding the responsibility of all social media and digital platforms to actually take this serious and to provide the same level of protection for politicians as they do for all of us as citizens.
Well, that's the thing that I've been intrigued by. Again, if we go back to your former gig as the Garda Commissioner and Assistant Commissioner before that and so forth, if you look at something like the Dublin riots, one of the things that people would say is that there is a bubbling that goes along on the various different social media channels, and then you find a gap opens and you get the conflagration. Are we at the same kind of situation now with politics, where somebody is going to find themselves getting hurt if the opportunity arises?
Well, I think the evidence that actually was reflected on Wednesday when we were launching the task force report, at the very same time, everybody would have seen the attempted assassination on the Slovakian Prime Minister, Robert Fico. And, you know, that just shows how actually this type of behaviour unchecked can actually spill over into the real domain. And we are seeing increasingly...
But you do connect the two. You do connect there being... Because I know that whenever we talk about this, people will say, well, look, since Franz Ferdinand, we have had political leaders who have been the subject of assassination in Europe. There is no evidence that people being rude on social media feeds into real world aggression. Your report says that it does.
Our report indicates that it certainly does, and the evidence would show that it does. So what you have is you have a lot of rhetoric, you have a lot of hatred, a lot of intolerance being spewed on social media, targeted at particular individuals and targeted collectively, as we said earlier, cross party and no party. And that's spilling over, manifesting itself into physical protests. So, for example, at the lower end of the scale, we've seen defacing of campaign posters. We've seen interference with people who are supporting campaign trails. And we've seen threatening behaviour to politicians, but also to public representatives and to those that are helping them and families. We had a horrific case reported recently of an individual, female and a family member who were on the campaign trail and physically assaulted. And we have seen a number of threats. So I think the evidence and the body of evidence, unfortunately, is growing. And if this behaviour, both on social media and in the real world, goes unchecked. So I think there's a responsibility. It is going to escalate, is what I want to say. But I think that's where the responsibility comes in. We have made recommendations in the report which go much beyond the structures that we're just talking about. Everybody has a responsibility here. And there have been previous reports around what needs to be done from terms of education, social inclusion. So we've looked at broader issues which need longer term investment. However, what we did hear, which was heartening, there are a number of initiatives that are being taken right across government and various agencies. But what is lacking is strong coordination and the energy and the commitment that's needed to drive that cross-agency collaboration.
You talk about things that are heartening. Let me go to the opposite side of the spectrum and things that are disheartening, because in the recommendations, you make recommendations about things that the Garda Síochána should do, things that the House of the Oireachtas should do, Commissioner na mBan, and one of the areas of recommendations is the social media giants, among whom you refer to their engagement and their willingness to give information and to give participation in the work of your task force. Notably, X said, get lost.
They weren't quite as impolite as that, but they weren't available, which was very regrettable. However, we were able to draw on a bank of evidence that's already there from a lot of academia. We had Tom Fell from the University of Galway and Ian Richardson, who had done a lot of work about looking at actually the algorithms and what that allows and the anonymity that that drives on social media platforms. As I mentioned earlier, we also heard from the Australian eSafety Commissioner, and who represented also the global partnership. So we were able to draw on a lot of really good evidence to support it. You know, what we wanted from the social media companies and the digital media platforms was engagement in order to get an understanding of why there is a different threshold for politicians and public figures than there is for ordinary people. I think we got an understanding of that, but we have made recommendations that actually the same protections would be applied to everybody. Also, we had some very good contributions from Commissioner na mBan. Their code of practice came into place in April. And what we really want to see is that the social media platforms will be held to account if they don't take swift and decisive action. So Commissioner na mBan will accredit trusted flaggers. So people that actually can raise issues that are reaching concern, where they can be escalated to on Garda Síochána if they actually spill over into a crime. And basically that the social media platforms then are obliged to actually either moderate or remove that harmful content. That's all very good in theory. However, in practice, we have to see how effective that is going to be. So you will see in the report, we have actually recommended that the Houses of the Oireachtas, the Superintendent's Office specifically, will be appointed as trustless flaggers. There's also an engagement forum recommended with Commissioner na mBan.
But you see, this goes to the thing that, it is not me that is selecting out Twitter or X. It is they themselves who have decided not to engage and therefore been more notable than the other media giants. Twitter and X is obviously a very significant platform, and their intent is to be the prime platform for shared social interaction and for news. As to whether or not they achieve it, who knows? But you have a series of recommendations here where you say, look, we want one, active participation with the House of the Oireachtas Engagement Forum. Two, we want increased engagement from the social media giants with political representatives and their staff, including provision of training. Three, adequate resources dedicated to moderate harmful content against politicians. Four, content policies to provide those engaging in political life with the same protections as individuals. Now, if they won't even show up to the task force work, What are the chances of getting there?
Well, I think there, you know, as I say, I like to be hopeful and optimistic about things. So we had a visit to Westminster Parliament, who unfortunately, in the wake of the tragic murders of Joe Cox and Sir David Emmis, they had to put very robust security measures in place. And they actually have an opt-in social media monitoring service, and they have what would be the equivalent to trusted flaggers here. And interestingly, in the UK, X and Scotland, X are engaging. So I think there is an opportunity here, and this is one of the recommendations that we make about this social media engagement forum. There is an opportunity here for all of the digital media platforms, including X, to engage in a constructive way and to be able to make sure that their policies and their content moderation policies in particular are there, but also that they take and step up and take the responsibility that they have to actually facilitate political discourse, but in a respectful way.
To go back right to the very start and sort of first principles on this, you've spent a long time looking at security threats, both in Garda Síochána and in the UN. As we sit now, obviously as chairperson of the report, you have done the report and it has been submitted and that's your work done. Are you worried by what you've seen?
I'm concerned, yes. I'm concerned, as I mentioned, with the palpable sense of menace, and it's increasing. I'm concerned that actually the impact and the potential impact, the danger to democracy and the principles that we all hold dear. I think this is much bigger than just, you know, this isn't a report about actually wrapping politicians up in cotton wool and protecting them. That is not what this is about. This report is actually how do we defend and uphold principles of our democracy. We're very fortunate in the 100 years since the establishment of our state that actually we have a pretty, albeit benign, I think was what Jane Coleman called it today. I would agree, it's benign, but nevertheless, it's a safe and secure democracy. We should not take that for granted. And my concern is that if these matters that we address in this report remain unchecked, that's what will happen. And it will impact on our democracy.
The report is the report of the Task Force on Safe Participation in Political Life. And if you want to read it, it is available through the Oireachtas website. You can just throw it into Google and it'll be available there. And the chairperson of that report is Noreen O'Sullivan. Noreen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Anton.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiries.ie
on News Talk.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.